Hey folks, Sir Richard Wentworth. When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the True Car mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the True Car certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With True Car, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the True Car mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans. Welcome to another edition of the AfterBuzz Recap Show. Today we are talking about episode 24, Mother's Rosario. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you? Sad.
Feelings.
Inside. It made me feel. I don't like that.
Joining me on the panel today, Lizzie.
Hello, everyone.
I'm so used to your Twitter handle, throwing out your Twitter handle, Lizzie
it's okay.
Maui.
Whenever I work with Matt Lieberman, he always says Lizzie Maui. I mean, Lizrish Maui. Hi, guys.
Has such a ring to it.
It really does.
That's the catches on. That was the point.
And Tari Miller.
Nakanaida.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds sad. Mm. Unfortunately, Katie Cullen can't be here today. She is home for the holidays. But I'm your host, Megan Salinas. And she wishes you all well. She wanted me to let you guys know to say thank you. Actually, she sent me a text message, and she wanted to say thank you for everything. You guys have been fantastic, and we couldn't have done this show without you. Thanks again. And she is absolutely right, because without you guys, this show would not have been possible.
Absolutely.
And since this is our last episode, I want to get your guys' reactions, because this, again, much like last week, this was a very different episode from what we normally get. So what were your feelings on this week's episode, and what are your feelings overall on SAO2?
Like I said, I was just telling Megan this, because we were supposed to have a guest, and obviously it's the holidays, everybody's very busy, so, you know, it's just the three of us, and I was like, almost sad to the point, just because last week was, like you said, it's a very touching, different episode, but we had Sharami and Bryce, and even though it was such a solemn episode with all the feels, we got to have fun, and now here we are discussing it, and there's no fun.
Yeah. Like, we got to laugh away our sorrows last time.
Yeah, so now we have to focus on reality, and I love this season. I think it was a beautiful way to end it. I feel like we've had an immense growth of the characters throughout the past three seasons. This season especially, like we said, has touched a lot more on, you know, we haven't even been focusing on Kirito so much, you know, and it's a lot about being able to connect with the characters more, because these are things that we could find ourselves in somewhat similar situations. So overall, I really enjoyed it. Very different, but not in a way where I hated it.
Nice.
How about you, Tari?
I really liked it. Mostly, like, after the episode, the one thought that came to my mind is that in the first season, we had, like, 4,000 deaths, give or take. And
literally.
None of
it's just kind of swept under the rug.
Sorry why I laughed at that. I don't know. It's a defense mechanism.
It's fine.
Fair enough. I mean, we were laughing a lot last week. So
we did say super AIDS, and AIDS is not funny, but we were laughing about super AIDS.
I take full responsibility for that, and I'm sorry for it, world. Tari, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. But yeah, so we had like 4,000 deaths in the first season, and like two in the subsequent seasons, and none of them were as emotionally impactful as this one death of this character that we've grown to love. And so I feel like they did a really good job of telling this story and bringing back the human element, because we lost that for a really long time.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, especially I feel like in the first arc, or the second arc of the first Sword Art Online, something definitely felt off about that. And I think Sword Art Online 2 definitely stepped everything up just as a whole. Yeah. It stepped up a lot of the storytelling. It stepped up the characterization. It was really great. But you know what we really want to do is we want to hear also about what you guys think.
Yes, we do.
And much like last week, we absolutely adored hearing from you guys live. I don't know if we're live streaming on YouTube, but I believe...
We are.
So please feel free to go ahead and take place in that discussion
on the chat.
And if you want to tweet us directly, we are using the same hashtag as last week, which is hashtag SAOABTV.
Why don't we just shout out our
Twitter handles.
So people, you can feel free to tweet us as well. Tweet us and we can...
Tweet us directly, yeah.
Yes, I can't speak English today. You can find me at Lizzie Maui. That's LizzyMawy.
You can find me at Tari J. That's TauriJay.
Lovely, Megan. And
even though Katie's not here, you can follow her on Twitter at KiaJay. That's KiaXet. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. So feel free to tweet us directly. But again, we're also keeping an eye on that hashtag.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and talk about what I felt about this episode.
Tell me about your feels.
I teared up a bit. No, I'm not. I'm not too big to admit that I teared up during this episode.
The thing that I like about, well, it's not nothing to like, but I mean, it was something where we knew it was going to happen. We knew before the end of the series that we were going to have to say goodbye. We were going to have to say goodbye to her. And it's just like, but then nothing can really prepare you for the impact and how you actually feel after all those episodes you've gotten to really feel for this character.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it wasn't a surprise, you know, like they didn't go Game of Thrones on us and just, you know, like kill somebody. It was just, it was a gradual thing. But again, it was like, you know, like real life, like it's a process, you know, when something's happening, it doesn't mean it's going to make it any less painful.
No. And I mean, because this was a process, there are a few of the five stages of grief, I think, represented in the last couple episodes, especially with Asuna, because she's just kind of thrust into the situation. She has all this knowledge thrust on her. And at first, she's in denial. She's like, this can't be it. This can't be the end of the road. And this is our acceptance episode, I feel like. And granted, not all the stages. It's not a perfect metaphor. but definitely... This is a very somber, very bittersweet farewell to the series. But at the same time, it's, you know, the notes that we end on, it's also very uplifting. The message is very positive about, you know, life and finding purpose and finding love and meaning with all that. all that little stuff, you know?
Good stuff. With a little ending, jumping ahead a bit, with Kirito being like, I want to be with you forever. She's like, I'll go with you even if it's the end of the earth. And he's like, well, that's a little much. And I'm like, really, bro? Really? Like, that's a little much after everything you've been through? That's a little much. Like, whoa, lay off, little too clingy if you're going to travel with me to, like, New York or something.
Like, which is funny because, like, they've literally seen the end of a world together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally saw it crumbling around them when they thought they were going to die. Yeah.
But I need my space if I move to a different country, so.
Whoa. Back up. You're being a little clingy.
We're only in high school, okay?
Well, you know what? Since you brought up the ending, I do want to know. We can talk about it right now. I do want to know what do you guys think about Kayaba Akihiko still having sort of his hand in this whole process a little bit, because he was very influential in the creation of the Metacuboid treatment. And on the one hand, it makes complete and total sense.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's like, you were a sociopathic maniac who was responsible for the death of 4,000 people.
Well, first of all, do we know if there's going to be any other seasons to Sword Art Online after this? Or is this like the end?
Right now, according to what I've heard from a lot of fans of our after show, is that they're still working on a few books.
Okay.
That there are still some books that are that need to be released. But that so far, this is all we have.
Because I feel like they left it open where there could have been more. Because
he didn't really die.
I mean, he's still out there. He is a very interesting character as far as a... do we call them protagonists?
Antagonists.
Antagonists. Thank you. My English is a little rusty. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I feel like it was very clever the way they wrapped it up as that as the final note. Because one, they left it open for the possibility of having more, which it's fine if it ends there, but it's also good because there's an opening for more without forcing it, which is good. Two, it comes into like kind of a perfect circle. Like we started off with this guy as the antagonist and, you know, he wasn't just a bad guy though. There was so much complexity behind him and what his point of doing this was. The whole thing with the egg for the season two and all the other worlds. So it just makes sense that he would be brought up and come again into a full circle of how somehow being involved with what we've experienced with season three. And in a way, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I never felt a total hatred for that character. He wasn't a total bad guy, unlike dude from season two.
Yeah, he wasn't. He was like, what he did was obviously wrong,
and you can't.
There are no excuses for what he did.
It absolutely came out as absolutely. So yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, he there is a lot of complexity to him. He's not just mustache twirly guy. Right. what do you think? And then actually, I want to take a question from Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I kind of figured that he had something to do with it. He was kind of the pioneer on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, like the Medicuboid, it really leads it into his vision a lot more because it's this completely immersive thing that essentially allows you to leave your body forever, which is what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. Like, dude was nuts. But I do like that even though he did some terrible things, a lot of what he did can also be used for good and can also be used to help people. And that was the intention behind it as well, is something positive can come out of this horrible thing.
Any sort of bad guy from anything ever, and usually before they turn into crazy bad guy, they were always trying to do something for the better of mankind, and then just kind of blows up like, rah, and anarchy.
And again, we don't...
Except for the Joker.
Depends on what you read, actually. But for this guy in particular, he's very interesting, and you can't help but wonder at what point he went nuts, and at what point he decided to do what he did. Because again, there are a lot of really good things that can come out of what he's done, as we see with this type of treatment. But really quick, I want to we got a question on Twitter at Musa_lover on Twitter wanted to know, what is your guys' favorite arc?
Oh, man.
Are you an Einkrad fan, an Alpine fan, a Gungale Online fan, or a Mother's Rosario fan?
I gotta say.
Or Excalibur. That was short, but it was an arc.
Excalibur.
Sorry. You know, we never did explain that to Tari, actually.
You never watched it?
I think I'm fine, no.
It's a reference, actually, to another anime, Soul Eater, where Excalibur was a sentient being who drove everyone crazy.
Yeah, he was obnoxious and kind of British, and we're going to send you some YouTube links after the podcast so you'll get what the heck
so
we're saying.
So you will understand.
Excalibur. Nice. Anyway.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I, you know what? There's been so much of this show, and every season has something to enjoy. But honestly, I'm going to say the later half of the first season with Einkrad, like, I very thoroughly enjoyed it.
Hmm.
I mean, it was because it was more the feel of getting into the series, feeling like I'm playing a game. The stakes were higher because if they lose their life, they're done for. And it's I guess maybe it was because I'm getting into the feel. I'm feeling for the characters. I'm starting to get to know them. It's still that whole new. It's like the honeymoon of relationship. You know, that's what the first season was to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'd probably think of a better answer if I had more time to think about it. My brain was more up to speed. But yeah, like, really liked it.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to say Gungale. I mean, it mirrors one of my absolute...
Death gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death gun. Hashtag death face, because he's ghost face, everyone. But yeah, it mirrors one of my favorite... Not that.
Okay.
But it mirrors one of my favorite film franchises of all time. It's a great little mystery. It was a tad predictable,
okay,
but it was so much fun. The animation was gorgeous and the music was great, and it had, basically it was Scream. I can't say anything else except for that it's like one of my favorite movies.
But you know
so
what we had in Einkrad? we had the girl that fell out of the window, and then we had the whole joke with her in the hospital going, ugh, because she just, you know, like, she just drops out of the window, and then she's just done for, and she's done. And, like, that we had that. That was kind of mystery theater, you know? That was fun.
It had a murder mystery in it, but the entire arc wasn't a murder mystery.
I know. Right. I just, so, you know.
I would have to go.
Oh, I was just going to say those were my two favorite episodes, though. But anyway, you were saying.
I would have to go with Mother's Rosario, with Gungale being a close second. Mostly because I feel like this one, it was more relatable as a person, mm-hmm. and you got more time with, like, really strong female characters, which, I'm a big fan of. Like, I like my Kirito, but it's as, like, the author said, he's too perfect, and every time they have to, like, conveniently make him, at the top of whatever he's doing. Yeah. Whereas, like, mm-hmm. Asuna is always working, and she's always trying to relate to people and doing good in the world that she's in.
Yeah.
And, like,
she's a more relatable character. Anybody who is a real human being who's not a sociopath, who has real feelings, who cares, anybody out there listening, if you have friends, family, anybody you care about, there's going to be some part of Asuna that you can relate to, or something that you've tried to do to go out of your way to do and help others. That's 90% of the human population. So anybody watching this and seeing her as a character, not just as a female character, which is very important, I think, especially after everything that with the season 2 that happened, and making her a stronger character, which I greatly appreciate.
Thank you, show. Yes.
Thank you. Really,
you made up for
way
it a
to
little
make
bit.
Up for it. But I just mean, like, wow, that was a stutter.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, exactly. No, she literally is one of my favorite characters that I've seen. And like me and Megan, I think it was you who said we haven't watched anime in a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, Attack on Titan and this show. But she has to be one of and I love Sailor Moon, don't get me wrong, but this character is a very strong character that is relatable, that you can look to.
Yeah, she's really well-rounded.
And she's not reliant, as much as she loves Kirito, maybe in the first series she was like, oh, I'm going to kill myself, but she is now a much stronger individual as a person, as a whole, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah. That's you make an excellent point.
Damn right I
and
do.
I know if Katie were here, she and I have talked at length about how, you know, you bring up the fact that Kirito's too perfect. Mm-hmm. She and I have talked at length about this series. Yeah, that we actually think Kirito would be far more interesting as a side character, mm-hmm. especially in that first arc. Because
which he kind of was for this series.
And lo and behold, we like him a lot better.
Yeah.
Because he's not doing this as much.
Well, and because when he comes in and kicks a lot of ass, it's really impressive and really gratifying, as opposed to just, oh, it's Kirito.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very much welcomed when he does that. And in the first arc in Gungale, another thing that I loved about Gungale was that he was characterized in a very human way. There were consequences and repercussions for a lot of the things that he had done, and he reacted like a human being.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, traditionally, the Kirito character is more of, like, if any of you guys watch Inuyasha, he's more of the mm-hmm. Sesshomaru kind of character. He's best served when he comes in, cleans house, and then disappears because he's super antisocial.
Oh my god, that is a great comparison.
Well, yeah, that's who he is. So, like, in a regular anime or other anime,
yeah, I feel like Klein would be our main character.
Yeah.
The bumbling, you know, shonen
Thank
protagonist.
You. Like, I'm goofy and I'm going to say things that people are just going to, like, slap their heads and, like, oh god, you didn't just say that. Like,
right.
That's like a real person. That's me in male form with, like, shorter, spikier red hair and facial hair. But, like I just, that I can't, I'm not going to be able to unsee that now.
But it would be very, that being said, what they've done with him in this arc is absolutely great. And I really like, obviously, the development that this show has taken. And I think Bryce said it last week. It's just very interesting to see the way Sword Art Online keeps redefining itself as it progresses. And that's definitely a strength, especially when it redefines itself to something that was way better than Alfheim.
Listen, guys, don't make me take back my thing about the series. I'm just a little tired today. But you know what? I am going to say, okay, so I think Gungale might have been my favorite. But I'm just saying the whole getting into the show and everything about, you know, because the character, if the characters were at the development point they were for Gungale, mm-hmm. but in Alfheim, I would have enjoyed it more.
Right.
There are so many things that could have been done about Alfheim.
I know.
That
at least
I
didn't say season
more.
Two. No one says season two.
same person, Joanna Wong on Twitter says, there is a very high chance of SAO3 because the next star is, and I apologize, I am illiterate, Alicization arc?
Alicization.
That's it sounds a lot Alicization. Like... that sounds a lot like Alcatraz. So maybe it has something to do with a prison break.
It might have been. It might just be a typo.
Well, no.
If anybody has a phone like mine, I cannot on this phone.
Well, and actually, Katie just messaged me. She says she is all
two
for.
Phones?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
But she says she is all for Klein being the protagonist. So
yes, I would love a side series, even if it's like a short season. Like, if we can get Excalibur, we can get, like, the Klein show. I would appreciate that. I want to see him at home eating his curry pizza and drinking his ginger ale and trying to go on a date and flopping it completely and then getting sucked into the game. You know what? Like, just writers, come at me. Come at me, bros. Just like, I got ideas. Just, we'll do this.
You know, in all fairness, Gun Gale was more Sinon story than it was Kirito's.
Oh, and, absolutely.
But
I like Klein.
The Excalibur arc was more Klein and Sugu than it was anybody else. And then this last arc was Asuna's arc. Maybe Klein will have the next one.
I'm just saying, we'll see. I would also love, like, if it was just a funny, goofy one or two episode, like, even seeing their lives, how it is outside of the world of the video games.
Mm-hmm.
Klein would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch a half hour episode of him just completely being miserable on a first date and just like flopping
shenanigans,
like trying to do karaoke and just like the girl he can't sing. Like, I could totally see that about him. I would watch that.
I want a Klein and Agil buddy cop.
Yes.
That would be great.
Oh my
they
God.
They had to solve a mystery.
That'd be great.
It would be great. And poor Augie, I was like, I'm getting too old for this. But anyway, so since we're mentioning those other characters, since we're talking about them and, apparently the live chat is saying that the next arc is very much like Alice in Wonderland.
What?
Okay, well, that'll be interesting.
Alicization makes a lot more sense.
Alicization, that's what she was saying.
Makes sense. That makes so much more sense. I wish somebody, does anybody have the capability of pulling up the live chat? Because that would be great.
I think our buddy Phil has.
Phil, what's the word
Phil's
on the live
the guy
chat?
On the ones and twos?
So, a lot of people are talking about, right now, alicization.
Yeah, nice.
That's a word now.
But they're also talking about the different books. There's still three light novels left to animate, LOL, the UW arc would come next, I believe.
LOL. You guys, lol.
You guys are the best. All right, well, again, thank you, Phil. Feel free to jump in at any time if anything looks interesting from the live chat, because none of us have it pulled up right now. Katie also says she wants to meet Agil's wife, so that would be stupendous
as
well.
Right.
Because they met online. Like, that would be a really fun arc.
Yeah.
Again, the buddy cop, Klein, Agil one, and his wife can come in and help solve
can we
mysteries.
Just,
she could be the Rene Russo.
Can we just please, like... Imagine if, like, a world where dating websites like OkCupid was, like, with the same fate, where you meet someone in alternate reality with these video games and stuff. Like, what a train wreck. What a great series idea for a comedy.
But
getting into this actual episode.
To actually talk about this episode is that it starts, I can't believe we're just saying it starts off, but it starts off with, you know, this party with everybody, you know, doing this celebration, and we
Kanpai.
See life is normal, you know, just for a little bit, you know, it's, and, you know, the day to day of, you know, going to school and Asuna. There was a little bit with Asuna's mom where I couldn't read her expression if she was like, well, these grades aren't good enough like I want them to be, or if it's like a begrudging, okay, these are actually good enough grades.
I think it was the latter.
Yeah, I gave up on trying to read her facial expressions.
She's not in the game, so I don't know what she's feeling.
What
I don't know if she's crying.
The entire sled.
That may be the best quote from the entire series.
No one can relate to that quote at one point in their life. Just get out. You're not really human. Like, that's, I feel that at least on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I'll see you guys later.
Aww.
Sorry.
But to get back, you know, again, it's just kind of life is normal until Asuna gets this message saying, hey, Yuki's not doing well, come quick. And they both, you know, it's very apparent that this is going to be the end for poor Yuki. And so Austin is there to say goodbye. And so they both log in to the game. And this whole sequence and this whole scene was, again, just very well done and very grounded. And when they actually do hop into the game, it was, you know, again, it's so weird to see her in, you know, as she is in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then see her avatar, you know, looking the same, and she's still smiling. And
but going into what you're saying, not to cut you off.
Oh, no, no, absolutely.
But, and that's exactly what I thought. Like, look at her all pretty and radiant and thing. But I love, and I cannot wait to see the dub and whoever they get to act as her, portray her character, how hard it must have been to be this vibrant character and then the weakness and the vocal and the acting that was put into behind the emotion and every little bit of the dialogue that happened after that part.
Oh, yeah.
Where
no.
As much as she's shiny and pretty and yay, haha, Clayney, that's it, you know, whatever, you know, it's a video game character, you know, that you can, I could just, the entire time I'm seeing the scene, I can see the weak, frail version of her in the hospital bed.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, you can definitely hear, you know, that frailty come through the performance. And it was an excellent performance.
And it wasn't forced. It was just like, yes, I've heard this from people who are actually very ill before. Like, yes, that is exactly how I expect it to be. And it was so, my cat then jumped on my head at the moment where I thought I was choking back a tear. So it kind of ruined it for me. But if it wasn't for my dang cat, yes, there would have been the tears and the feels. So. Like, that, right at that moment.
That's
like,
definitely
boom.
Happened before, where
right
it's just like
head.
Something all of a sudden is just like, okay, well, I was going to cry. And
then Katie walks into the room and trips. just imagine.
sometimes if it's like actual TV, like a commercial will pop up and it's like, really?
Like, you just ruined it.
Way to kill the mood commercial. But speaking of commercials, I do want to talk to you guys really quick about iTunes.
Do it.
Folks, thank you so, so much for going to iTunes. We really appreciate all of the support. And actually, since my internet is working, I think I can actually pull
up. Way to rub
up.
It in our faces.
I think I can actually pull up the Sword Art Online after show for AfterBuzz to actually read. Because I wanna read off the comments, because it's honestly your guys' support. And this is the last episode we get.
For a while. To be continued.
To be continued until we get Sword Art Online 3, hopefully.
I keep getting confused because I keep thinking this was Sword Art Online 3, even though it was not. It was like Gun Gale and something else. But
No, this was Sword Art Online 3 for sure. But let's see here. I'm trying to read more reviews. Come on, load. But basically, even though the show is over, we still very much rely on your guys' support, and we want to be able to demonstrate to our network that, hey, everybody loved this after show, so that if we get a Sword Art Online 3, we can come back and cover that for you as it comes on out.
Yeah, can I just say, like,
absolutely,
again, because, like, can we just also giving thanks to Megan as a whole?
Oh.
Megan has been with AfterBuzz for longer than at least I know me and Tari,
yeah.
And she is the one who has fought for us to have shows like Sword Art Online and Attack on Titan, that when we got it, they showed that you guys love it. You guys have been telling us on the comments.
Aww.
You've been watching. So thank you to Megan, because Megan also paved the pathway then for us to have Legend of Korra and all those sort of things. You know, we have like Sailor Moon Crystal, great panel on there. And thank you guys, your word of mouth and passing all those comments and everything, like, thank you. Just keep it up, and we will continue to have shows like this. But we need your support. This is free. They do 80 hours of TV. Phil is not saying anything because he's exhausted and he's a zombie. So thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. The people behind the scenes work over 90 hours to bring you all of that content for free. And so it means the world to us when we can point to these iTunes reviews and go, see, everybody loves this show. And we love hearing from you guys on YouTube as well. It always makes our day when we go to the link on YouTube and we see nothing but wonderful, wonderful, supportive,
and you have no idea
funny.
How giddy we are when you guys, like, just tweet us on Twitter, like, oh my god, I love you guys. We're like, we love you too. Like, we're nobody special. Shut up. We're just dorks.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you.
We're just we're just nerds that happen to like talking about this stuff. So
yeah.
I want to give a shout out to NWJSN on iTunes. Awesome in-depth analysis of the show. And then Inuyasha Boy, 1981, also wrote, "Hey guys, thanks for the new review of Saturday's episode." And this is a really long one, so I'm just going to.
But thank you.
Yeah. So I just want to say thank you. And those are the two newest reviews that we have. We've got a total of 15 comments and 25 reviews, guys. I challenge you. I think we can double that.
Yeah. I bet you $5 I don't actually have that you're not actually going to get, but we'll pretend that there's this, you know, $5 that you're never going to see. And I bet we can double that.
But yeah, it's your guys' support that Christmas we're able miracle. To continue doing stuff like this. It's how we get sponsors. It's how we're able to get guests like Bryce and Sharamie.
Oh my goodness. And how awesome are they?
They were super awesome. And by the way, guys, last week's episode was so much fun.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody who participated in that because that was just, it's probably one of the most fun I've ever had.
Root for me. Like, I can't.
Cheer for me.
Because he's just this, like, really rugged kind of manly-looking package with this boyish face that probably gets carded at every single bar he walks into, who can do this wide array of characters. And he's just the most down-to-earth, friendliest guy. And now he's just doing that, like, root for me. Like, I can't. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bryce.
Yeah, it was the best. And thank you to everybody who participated in the live chat. You guys, I think it was a rousing success.
It really was. And again, thank you because that was a very sad episode like this week's. And at least we got to have some laughs and not remember that life is more than just sorrow.
Yeah, seriously. All right. So let's get back to this episode because everything okay over there? Okay, cool. We're good. We're good to go.
He hasn't slept in 4 days.
We got another question from Twitter. How do you guys feel about the very ending when Kirito told Asuna he wanted to be with her forever, and she reciprocated? What do you guys think?
I expected it. I mean, I would be upset honestly at this point because there's been nothing in the show to drive them apart. And especially in this last season where Asuna's been the main character and Kirito's just kind of been the background, but he's been there to support her when she needed it. And that's where I think like real relationships in life should be. Friendships, family, romance. They're a great couple. They haven't, I mean, the beginning kind of made me go, bleh, you know, with the whole high school. I love you. I can't live without you. But overall, they have gone through that. They've grown as characters. And I don't see any reason why I wouldn't be happy that they're still together. They're not unhealthy for one another. They support each other. And I wish them the best, and I hope I get an invite to their wedding.
Yeah. I'll say it was nice to see him supporting her because
he was
the secondary character in this.
And not having to save her. He's just there to aid her in a time of need.
Exactly.
She needs the emotional boost.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I basically agree with everything you just said. It's nice to have seen them grow as characters because they are still young and the very early stages of their relationship, you know, when they're playing house and
exactly.
everything like that. It's nice to see them mature.
But I feel the difference here now is that, and this is important, my little side bit advice about relationships in general, it feels now that they do not, it's not that they need one another. They want to have one another in their lives, and they're there as their support beams. Like, it's not that, like, I'm going to die without you. It's like, I want you around. My life is better with you in it. Let's continue to help each other. And that, coming from the first season, we have grown. There has been progress. So continuing with that, I would love to continue seeing where the relationship goes, hopefully, with the new season. So
agreed. Tari, what do you think?
I liked it. It was kind of nice to have some finality to it. Like,
yeah, they didn't have to, like, make out.
No, but, like, throughout their real-world lives, they've been really ambiguous about their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when Yuki mentions she has Kirito, she's like, I guess, sort of. But, like, it was at this moment where he was finally like, hey, I love you. And
aww,
she's all like,
oh,
man, I love you, too. And then they, like, hold hands and run off into the sunset.
I'm pretty sure that's not quite what happened. But
the way he said it, because it's so not Tari. He's like, hey, man, love you too. What?
That's how Kirito talks.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, what's up?
And Asuna's just his deep voice.
Oh, of course.
He's apparently, what's his name?
Agil?
Yeah, he's Agil now.
Patrick Seitz.
Oh, man.
Go to my cafe. Show your love.
Sure, that's how it is.
I just forget that Tari can do these voices. Like, it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm happy because they didn't end it with sad, 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 sad. Like, they didn't end it at the funeral. They ended it showing a memory of throughout all the progression of all these relationships, there's always been these little bits where there's a party, there's a picnic, there's a get-together. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of shows that no matter what hardships they go to, they go through, they're always going to end back at that mm-hmm. nice, like, you know, we still have each other. We're here for each other. We're going to be – we're growing. And that's all I care about. Just mm-hmm. continue with that.
I do want to ask, just because there is a little bit more to this episode – what did you guys think of, cause this is very much a callback episode as well,
yes.
because it is the very end for now, because we have characters from Alfheim coming back for Yuki's vigil, essentially, when all of these players come to kneel down around her see her off.
That was the part where I think I got it teared up and then the cat jumped on me. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, my God, they all come. She's like, but why is there so many? Am I dreaming? And I'm like, oh, my God, you're not dreaming. It's Yuki. They're here for you. Meow.
Cat.
Dang it. Why? But I just – because, again, giving props. And, again, with the strong feminine characters, like, she was – the best. I almost wish they didn't say best swords women. Like, you're the best swords man. Doesn't matter. Okay.
Well, and they were saying swords person at first.
Yeah, and then they said, like, she said swords woman. But I just feel like, and then the whole speech that she gave about, I always wondered why. What was the point
why,
of me living?
Yeah, exactly. What
like was it was just pain and sorrow. But I've grown memories. I've grown friends. I've built this. This existence was not in vain. And that was the part that struck a chord in me the hardest, like even worse than the death or anything, because everybody in life has gotten to the point where you're sad or you're going through things, you're depressed. And I'm getting deep here. Like, I just mean, like, regardless if you're not dying from super AIDS, I just mean, like,
what have I done?
This is your fault, but reap what you sow. But I just mean, like, everybody has gotten to that point in life where you wonder, what is the point? You know, like, what is the point? What am I doing here? You know, but for her to create this existence and cherish these memories, Asuna saying, like, I'm going to be with you again one day. We'll meet each other again. I'm always going to pass down your sword skill. How cool is that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to also ask as well, the name, because we get the name of the arc from this. It turns out that the name of the 11-hit combo was the Mother's Rosario. And I'll be honest, I don't quite know what that's a reference to, because I feel like
Rosario sounds so familiar. I didn't look it up or anything. If anybody wants to tweet us real quick,
yeah.
Hint, hint, wink, wink, because no one's tweeting us. I feel like Rosario sounds very familiar, but obviously with the whole past with her talking about her mother, and right before she died, she thought she saw her mother.
Yeah.
I feel like it was just an homage to her mom and her mother's strength trying to, you know, push her kids through.
And she talked about this attack being something that she hoped would protect Asuna in the future. So, again, I'm not quite sure what it was a reference to, because I think
–
I don't know if this is, like, a weird translation thing or if it was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's the name, and it's a reference to something I'm just not familiar
with.
That's
not helping, because a Rosario is a city in Argentina.
Well, I think it might be in reference to, like, the rosary.
That was my other thought, too.
Because her mom was really religious.
Yeah.
And so and that kind of relates between her and Asuna, where they both had different connections to their moms, and they wanted to express these, and, like, her mom used religion.
Speaking of expression, this has nothing to do with kind of – it doesn't answer your question.
It's okay.
But Paul Villa says a whole bunch of Final Fantasy XIV players did a massive vigil for a dying player recently inspired by this arc.
Oh,
nice.
My gosh. Really?
That's amazing.
So you guys should check it out.
Yeah, we
oh
will.
Oh, my gosh.
And that does make sense, because as I'm saying Rosario is a city in Argentina, I scroll down. I'm like, oh, look at all the rosary beads. So
that was the other thing, because it does very much sound like rosary.
Google.
And again, Tari, I think you nailed it. So.
Oh.
Something?
On. No, I'm going to read. Continue.
Okay. But, yeah, it was very sweet that this you know, the 11-hit combo, the thing that made her kind of famous within the game, very, you know, noticed and intimidating, was the thing that she passed on to Asuna. And it's something that theoretically will go on throughout the game, because Asuna will eventually pass it down to someone else mm-hmm. as well. Although that did make me wonder, I'm like, I wonder what the future, because Kirito.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, Kirito brings it up, too. He doesn't know what the future holds, especially at the end of this arc where we don't quite know whether or not there will be an SAO3. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. So nobody knows what the future will bring, and that makes me wonder, you know, what other... Because obviously there are more books, though.
Yeah, because they say it takes place between the Phantom Bullet and Alicization arcs.
Yeah. What is coming in the next one? How is the world that they spend so much time in, how is that going to change and evolve?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's if there's one thing that this show shows is that it's constantly evolving and changing and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's getting bigger and bigger. And again, it's really changing the way people live, which is a big metaphor for just technology in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, personally, I'm hoping that it starts to kind of blur the line between virtual and reality. Because, I mean, we know, based off of the information that we know about Reki Kawahara, I mean, his next series takes place in this world's future. And in that world, the virtual world and the real world are pretty much blended. Like, people can basically jump into the virtual world through their own bodies. They don't need headgear anymore. And so I'd like to see the world progressing to that point, seeing Kirito's place in that, because he kind of mentions it at some point that he is kind of, Akihiko's successor.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and he's like, I don't even like that. I feel like I'm being manipulated.
I'm sorry. Like I'm my brain, and I'm going to verbally say it anyway. As he's saying, like, I can't wait to see the technology progress and how they do this, and I want them to get this. And in my head, I'm like, I hope they cure AIDS, because I think all the technology going into this stuff, it's like, thank you. It's been how many years? It's 2020 what now in this series?
Yeah, it's 2020. It's probably 2025.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. Let's get on that and then worry about your video games, okay? Anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, way to not cure super AIDS, Kawahara.
Thanks.
All his fault.
Yeah, but at least we got the leukemia. We seem to get leukemia on the bend there. People
yeah,
are
and that was actually the next not thing recession. I was going to bring up is that kind of another a little bit of Mission. Uplifting note is that Siyune has
yes.
been cured, and June is also
new medication,
and he's on the upswing. So it's like, it looks like we might not be the Sleeping Knights might not be reuniting as soon as we yeah. thought, because and it's kind of, they're taking it as it being Yuki's way of saying, guys,
what
take your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to see you just yet.
If I see you too soon, I'll kill you.
Good luck with that.
That's what I would say to people.
But if you die, I swear I'll kill you.
That's exactly what I would say. I thought that was nice too, because, you know, we don't really talk about, I don't think, aside from Yuki's mom being, like, you know, I guess Catholic, or I don't know, but, you know, or religious or Christian at least, you know, we don't really talk about into the beliefs and what they think happens when they die. I mean, as far as we know, they have the whole, like, well, I'll see you in another life or next time or whatever.
Well, and Japanese culture is, you know, it definitely has a lot of spiritual aspects.
Which is why I thought it was very interesting that her mother was religious. Like, Christianity, like, let me tell you, I was in Japan for a week. We passed by, like, I could count how many churches. They're not very many. But it's very interesting as that is a loop, and now it makes sense with Mother's Rosario,
uh-huh.
that being linked into it. But I thought it was nice that we could kind of think of it as Yuki being like, it's a miracle. And I'm like, it's like Christmas is in like 4 days. I'm like, it's a Christmas miracle. And I don't know why that's exactly how I sounded when I said it. But, you know, it's nice to see this kind of like whole, like, okay, well, she died, but we're getting good things out of this because there's hope for other people. This isn't the end of the line, like, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again, it's the thing that I like about the episode. If we have to have a sad episode with all the feels, like, let's have some bright end notes to lift it off mm-hmm. on, so yeah. I don't have to come in here with mascara running down my face.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you know, it's, again, it's just kind of like Yuki's strength was able to inspire others.
Yeah.
And they a few of them now have this new lease on life. And everybody who met her has been kind of revitalized and has this new perspective on what it really means to be alive.
And all the fairies. So many fairies.
So many fairies. Well, guys, we have to wrap it up.
No.
I know. I don't want to say goodbye either. But you're so far away.
Not
even
really.
Though, no, we're not really.
Far, oh.
No, we're not. We're not doing that.
Just never let go.
We're going to let go intentionally now.
No more touching.
Let go again.
Anyway, before we wrap it up, I do want to know, final thoughts on the series, just throw it out. And final thoughts to any fans that we have watching, listening right now.
Tara, you go first.
All right. I think the series really – it had its valleys and its hills. But overall, with the exception of one arc, it was really captivating. It was
– Season two.
Yes. It was really – I want to say it was revolutionary. I mean, we did follow a character that we typically don't follow. Like, we usually get the shonen protagonist. Take a shot. And we didn't.
Hey, that's
we got
for you.
A really, like – emotionally flawed character, but a physically perfect character, which is interesting. And we also got really...
You checking out Kirito?
And we got really strong and relatable characters as sides and main characters. So mm-hmm. I feel like the series as a whole is great. And I'd watch it again if I had the chance. And to the fans, I really enjoy you guys. This was probably one of my favorite shows to do ever in the history of ever. So I really am grateful for your support.
Yep.
How can I follow that? No, same thing. Like, again, this is, again, it was great coming into this because it was an experience. It was one of the first anime I've gotten into in years. And it was so fun to have to share that experience with friends like Katie and Megan and Tari to talk about it like the nerds that we are and have the support of you guys out there. I mean, thank you so much. It's so fun to chat about this stuff with you. And again, such an interesting anime in general, like taking video games and the depth that we get of the characters, the growth. Often that we see that in especially anime where we see so much depth and growth with the characters and we see, you know, like I said, I mentioned Sailor Moon before. It's the same thing, yo. It's the same, okay? Like, but we get to focus on different characters and we get to appreciate them as a whole without having to have the main character that we've grown so accustomed to seeing constantly in every single episode, mm-hmm. which is so different and I really enjoy it. I really hope that they do come back with more seasons. I hope that it continues to escalate better and better and better. And I hope that when that happens, you guys will be on the AfterBuzz TV podcast telling them and screaming at the producers, you better come back with it, Megan, Tari, Katie. And then we will be back and we will be recapping.
I have to agree with both of you guys. This series is by no means perfect.
No.
We've gone on at length.
It's like a person.
Yeah, it's a lot like life. Yeah. It is by no means perfect, but when it was really good, it was great. When it was really bad, it was really bad.
Oh, yes.
but when it was good, things were really great. And all in all, it was really enjoyable. And I will definitely be rewatching the Gun Gale part for sure.
I'm just going to text you and be like, Death Gun. And then be like, what are you doing on Christmas? Death presents. Like, stop texting me, Liz. Death okay.
Death Holly.
Death mistletoe.
That was the word I was looking for. Thing. Anyway, again, just this was a fun series. And again, I prior to Attack on Titan coming out, it had been a long time since I sat down and really enjoyed an anime. And definitely SAO was something that I really enjoyed and that I'm really glad I sat down and took the time to watch.
It made me want to replay RPGs that I never have time to play anymore. I'm going to go home and play some Dragon
Quest.
It made me
kind of want to sit down and play some Final Fantasy.
There you go.
No one has time for that.
Nope. But nobody got time for that.
Nope. But again, just to all of you guys, all of your tweets, all of your messages on YouTube, all of the iTunes comments, it's meant the world. So thank you guys so, so much. We really appreciate it.
And on an after note, I just want to say, where can people, are we doing more shows? Like, you want to be on anything?
Yeah, we can do that, but we're going to go around the table.
Okay.
Liz, what are you going to be on?
Okay, well, we are, Tari and I will be recapping the Legend of Korra season finale right after this, so stay tuned, you guys. Tweet us. You can find me at Lizzie Maui on Instagram and Twitter. That's LIZZYMAWY. Also coming up soon, I am going to be recapping the Doctor Who Christmas special. Stay tuned because we have no idea when. And Helix and some more things, please follow me and I will get you updated.
Woo, Tari.
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's TauriJay. And as Miss Rishmawi said...
Thank you for saying my name right.
You're welcome. We'll be wrapping up Legend of Korra. This is the last episode ever, so tune in.
Well, thank you guys. And you can follow, as I mentioned, you can follow Katie on Twitter at Piaget and on Instagram at KIXET. And you can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. And I'm also on the Sailor Moon after show tonight. And I'm also going to be on Agent Carter coming up pretty soon.
Girl.
Woo! And I'm also on Classic Who and Star Wars Rebels. So
what?
Those will be back in January.
Nice.
Again, thank you guys so much. Thank you to Phil, who was engineering tonight.
Thank you, Phil.
And thank you to Stephen Lemieux, who kept engineering for us, and yeah. We drove him crazy.
And happy holidays to everybody. Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it. Yeah, have a wonderful night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.